They basically told him, like, we serve creation. We tend to all life like a terrarium. They showed my dad the pyramids, that there was some spiritual significance there. And then now we're going forward. 5 years have passed. So when he stepped outside, those same entities were in the yard. But as he got closer and closer to them, they were like, follow us. And he always had this feeling like they feel familiar to me, like maybe they're my brothers or family somehow. They walked him through the yard. And like I said earlier, we had hunting dogs in the yard. We had a huge L-shaped kennel full of like 10 to 20 hounds for bear and deer hunting. Anyway, these entities lead him to this kennel and they hand him this little thing. Now, it was a metaphorical thing. Everybody is so caught up on what it was, but they explained to him that it was metaphorical and it represented humanity being confused and not knowing which way to go to be in harmony with nature.
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we have a very special episode. In fact, it might be the most important show I've ever done. It might be the most important podcast you'll ever listen to, because we are joined by three young men from a podcast called Bledsoe Said So. Now, this is very important because the host, Ryan Bledsoe, is part of one of the biggest, if not the biggest, UFO alien phenomenon contact cases ever recorded. His story, because I'm very skeptical about all these alien stories. I believe this guy 100%. I've been talking with Ryan for a long time now. I'm convinced, right? And you're going to hear the story. He's gonna give you the story, and you will also be convinced. This guy's telling the truth. His father and brother were part of a CE4, that's a Close Encounters 4, CE4 case that was featured on Discovery Channel, and it resulted in continuous investigation by practically every intelligence agency and scientist on the planet who's been studying this phenomenon, the alien phenomenon, right? And on this show that you're about to listen to, we're going to take about the first 15 minutes to go around the horn, introduce each member of his team. You know, he's got Alex on the ones and twos. He's got Nick as his other host, his hype man. And of course, Ryan's a host. Now, after the introductions, the magic really happens as Ryan puts us in a trance. A great retelling of the story that might be one of the most, I mean, could be, right? Potentially could be one of the most important transformative events in evolving all of human consciousness. It questions spirituality. It questions the existence of life. I mean, it's a very existential type of question it pulls up. And I don't just say this casually, like I really mean it. That's why the story of these visitors who healed his father from a disease, by the way, have been investigated by so many people. The story's featured in American Cosmic with Dana Pasalka, who I interviewed 2 years ago on this show. It's part of the Invisible College's research into contacts with entities from another world. They've been doing this a long time. And you're going to hear Ryan and his family's experience in dealing with this, the ups, the downs, the messages that the aliens sent that they want to relay to you. I mean, this is crazy stuff, right? It's wild. They're going to talk a little bit about the hypnotic regression of his father, the story of his abduction onto the craft and what he saw and where he went, Discovery Channel putting in a hatchet job, screwing him over. And, you know, there's a lot of brief side discussions. We'll hear about MUFON, the eschaton, you know, the end of the world, Age of Aquarius, when that's going to happen, Tom DeLonge. And Ryan will even reveal the identity of the infamous Tyler Durden from American Cosmic's book, right? The American Cosmic book talks about this invisible college and they use pseudonyms. Ryan knows the guy. I mean, this is wild stuff today. I'm telling you, this show is going to echo throughout the whole alien phenomenon world. The whole disclosure movement. And these guys are some of the nicest people I've ever met. They seem very genuine, very honest. I'm a pretty good read on people. I really like these guys a ton. Now, I actually am going to be interviewed by Bledsoe Said So on their podcast. We're doing a sort of dual collaboration show. So what you need to do is, after you get done listening to my show, go subscribe to Bledsoe Said So. It's all over the place, Apple, Rockfin, everywhere. They're going to release my interview on Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, of course. And we're going to talk about the Isaac Weishaupt journey. Not that my story is as cool as Ryan's and stuff. Greek culture, occult celebrities, generational millennial differences, worldviews, religion, spiritual views. So check it out. Also, I know you're going to have questions and comments, right? After you listen to this, I'm doing a live chat, live stream, YouTube premiere video of this interview on the free, obviously on a YouTube free feed. My channel is called Isaac Weishaupt. On Wednesday, June 15th, 2022 at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be there. If you're lucky, Ryan and the rest of the crew are even going to make a cameo. So they'll be commenting right here with you. If you got questions, that's where you drop them, right? So keep your fingers crossed that they'll be there. I'll definitely be there holding it down for you. I'll put the link in the show notes, or you can go to my YouTube channel, Isaac Weishaupt. I don't regularly upload stuff there because they banned me forever ago and they still harass me. So this is kind of a unique thing where I'm actually dropping a video for everyone. So be sure to check that out. That's Wednesday, June 15th, same day that I'll be appearing on Bledsoe Said So, their podcast. Okay. A lot of stuff going on. Links are in the show notes. I'm going to hit you other side on the outro. Let's go. All right, everybody, you are listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, and we are joined today by some very special guests. These guys have one of the best podcasts on the planet. Oh, you know, stop. I don't hand that compliment out. I talk trash on a lot of, you know, I don't talk trash, but I'm very, I don't just listen to every podcast. You know what I mean? I've had a lot of people say, oh, you gotta, you know, let's hook up, let's do this show, or you gotta listen to this guy's show. And I try, and like, not to say that they're bad, but they don't always grab me. And they don't ever get me to return. Like, I'll be like, okay, that's cool, you know, but my time is limited, you know. You know how this goes. There's a lot of research to do, especially when you're running your show. It's like there's a lot of work behind the scenes. You just don't have the time. But you guys, on the other hand, Bledsoe Said So, this is one of the most interesting, engaging. This is the you guys have nailed the formula for infotainment, in my opinion. You guys
arrow to the heart, man. You're getting me.
You know, and here's the thing, you know, I've got a bigger crystal than all you guys.
Hold up, bro. Hey. Hold up.
I've got one of those. Jenny, get my windowsill tonight.
Look at Nick's little Nick's, hey, yo, coveting, hold on. Nick's coveting his neighbor's crystal right now.
they gotta hear our part two of this special for that reference.
Did you just Freud me? Is that some Freudian shit?
Yo, check this out. We got the window selenite, and we got the fat ass quartz, boy.
Oh man, you got that Girth Brooks crystal.
Yeah.
So as the audience may or may not know, this is a two-part collaboration sort of show, right? We're doing this show where you guys, Bledsoe Said So meets Isaac Weishaupt's Conspiracy Theories on Popular Culture, but then we're also doing vice versa. I'm appearing in your guys' show this week. That'll, you know, my audience, they're listening to this show on Monday, the 13th of June. My appearance on your guys' show will be Wednesday, June 15th.
Correct.
My birthday.
Nick's birthday.
On Nick's birthday.
My birthday. Birthday.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Gemini season.
There you go.
That's right.
Gemini season player. So yeah. What we're going to do is, because I'm going to assume most of my audience is not familiar with you guys and your outstanding podcast yet. And I'm going to do intro outros where I'll talk about some of my favorite episodes you guys did. You know, it's funny. The first one, I've been in contact with you guys for a while.
Yeah.
The first episode, I finally got around to being like, okay, let me check out their podcast. Cause you know, like I said, like I'm always like, yeah, I'll check out the show. Sounds good. Whatever.
No, and same. I'm exactly,
you know,
the same.
It's no offense. Yeah. It's just, you know,
no offense. I don't have enough time in the day. Yeah.
Not enough time in the day. I got around to listen to it, and I don't know what hit. Something hit me where I listened to the Fight Club episode. Mm-hmm. And it was like, immediately I was like, oh shit, these guys nailed it, man. These guys nailed the formula. Then I listened to the Wizard of Oz one and I was like, dude, this is fire. I love it. So anyway, what I want to do is go around the horn here, right? Okay. We can start with my man Alex over here.
Yeah, I was gonna say
quiet guy behind. You're the Jamie of the like the Joe Rogan Jamie, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this on camera ones and twos. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to go around the horn. Let's go Alex, then Nick, then Ryan. Give us a brief spiel of, you know, who you are, what you do on the show. You know, let's warm you up to the audience. Let's start with Alex. Go for it, bro.
Yeah, so this the camera's new for me. I'm not usually on the camera. I'm usually hiding, which is nice because I don't have to, like, change and pretend like we're doing multiple episodes on different days and stuff. But, yeah, I a lot of what I do is after we're done recording. So
he's our producer.
Yep, but you're the conspiracy guy, right?
Yeah, I'm the conspiracy guy. I'm the off-camera conspiracy guy. It's funny
true to,
you mentioned
true to form. True to form. Yeah. Hiding behind the scenes.
Right, right. It's funny you mentioned Fight Club. I remember that episode very well. That was I was in a little bit of a mood that day. I remember I was like, "Dang, what if my I just want my condo to burn down and like have like nothing." But yeah, I think me and Ryan became friends a couple of years ago, and I definitely wasn't the first person to tell Ryan to start a podcast, but I like to think that I'm the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, you were the first, dude. You were the first person to tell me that. Yeah.
Okay. So then I was like, dude, because I went over to Ryan's house one day after work and we talked for hours and I'm like, dude, you're really good at this. You should tell some more people. And then, you know, we got Nick involved and everything just kind of fell into place and everybody has their role and their job and they do a fantastic job at it. It's a great team.
Now, before we move on, I do want to something very strange. Like I know you guys are into synchronicity weirdo stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I haven't listened to every single episode yet. I'm working my way through them. I'm probably through half of your episodes.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I'm not messing around, man. I shit you not. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, man.
Damn.
The cosmic horror episode, one of the I think it's the most recent one before the I haven't listened to Yoga
correct.
Yet.
Correct. That comes out on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. The cosmic horror one, you guys did the what if bag, right? Isn't it like kind of listener questions?
Yeah.
Maybe?
So that was the week before. Occasionally we'll do an entire what if episode where people just shoot in totally random what if questions. We randomize our selection and read them on the show and we tackle them.
That's the one. Yeah. So I was just kind of listening to it and kind of autoplayed it. But yeah.
You've been binging. You've been binging.
Yeah, bro.
It's meshing together. Yeah.
You guys had you took a question on the one episode from DJW, I forget the number, 4177 or something like that. Remember, I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember the numbers, no.
DJW is a guy who years and years ago followed my blog, right? We're talking back 2012, 2013, 14, something like that. And he was one of the few people that was like pushing me to podcast. And he said, bro, you need to do a podcast. And I didn't want to do it. I was like, no, I don't like podcasting. I like writing. That's not my thing. And in 2014, I did a radio show out in Salt Lake City called Fringe Radio. And after that, they sent me the MP3s of the show and I was like, all right, let me do a podcast and I'll upload when I go on other people's show, I'll just upload that. And DJW was one of the guys who way back when was like, bro, you need to do a podcast. And he was one of the louder voices. So
that's crazy.
Small
man.
World.
Small shout world. Out DJW.
Shout DJW. Out DJW. And Isaac, I know it's not my turn, but I just have to say I'm not blowing smoke. Dude, you are really good at this shit, man.
Oh, thanks, brother. Appreciate that. You guys are naturals too, man. There's a lot of people who I've tried a lot of. Oh man, I don't want to call. There's a huge podcast that everyone tells me is last podcast on the left. I'll just say it.
Okay.
You know, that's like one of the biggest shows ever, and I've had a lot of people in my personal life like, oh, you know, you got to check out their show, and I've tried, and I'm just like, bro, I can't, I just can't deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. No offense to those guys. It's just I don't know what it is.
Fun fact, they shouted me out on there one time.
Oh, really?
Wow. Total, there's a little bit of context there, and I'll go into it later. Yeah, but they did. Okay. They said my name on there.
Wow, that's a big to-do.
Yeah.
Harry Zabrowski, whatever his name is.
I have no clue. I don't listen to the show.
No. Anyway. All right, well, let's move over to Nick, my Greek brethren over here.
You damn right. Yeah, that's right. 100% number one.
Greek.
Yeah, if I'm describing myself, number one is I am 6,000% Greek, okay?
And don't 6.7,000%.
6.7,000% Greek, and don't let anybody tell you different. No, I'm Ryan's best friend. We've been friends since
15 years.
Yeah, we've been friends since we were like 12, something like that. I'm just a country boy from the South, I'm a country Greek boy from the South. I was raised in oppressive Christianity, like a lot of these guys here, Ryan, you know, especially a lot of religious trauma.
Yeah. Is there any other kind of Christianity besides the oppressive? Yeah,
yeah. Kind? Yeah. I kid. I know my audience is all
yeah. He's prepping us before we start recording. Like, we do have a lot of Christian warriors that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Warriors. Shout
out. Just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. We love you guys. Yeah, y'all, I love y'all. Are the best. Y'all are literally my family. So but you know, I started hanging out with Ryan, and they sprung this alien thing on me. Literally, I don't know if you've heard the story, but I've told it a few times. The first time I ever went to stay the night at Ryan's house when I was like 12, his older brother Jeremy, we're out there after playing Halo at like 2 a.m. making PB&Js, and the dogs start barking outside, going crazy. Sound like they were knocking stuff over, running around something.
And we had about 12 hunting hounds, so it was a lot of noise. It was a scary amount of barking.
And I had no idea what was going on. Yeah. So I kind of got freaked out. I've always been a skittish little boy. I heard that and I was like, what is that? I said that to them. And Jeremy, his older brother, goes, probably aliens. Said it just like that. And I was like, haha, funny. Ryan starts freaking out. Ryan's like, dude, shut up. Don't talk about that, dude. He's over here for the first time. You're going to ruin this. Like, he's not ever going to want to come over and hang out anymore if you tell him about the aliens. And then I was like, are they like, is this like a really elaborate plan to pull one over on me? But basically, we stayed up to like 6 a.m. that day, and they told me the whole ongoing story.
Yeah.
And it really expanded my way of thinking. It shattered my reality. It very much did shatter my reality. You know, one second I'm like playing guitar in the church band, and the next second I'm like researching chaos magic and like, you know, like aliens and spirits and So I'm the co-host of the show, and my role of the show is to just be an idiot. I'm like, I'm basically like the audience. I kind of play the audience a little bit. So when Ryan drops some crazy knowledge, I am dumb enough to everything he says. It's like, whoa, dude, that's insane. Holy shit. You know, and
you're like the hype man.
Yes. I'm the hype man.
I like that better. I wouldn't say the whole dumb thing. Yeah. He's the hype man.
Yeah. No, I'm being parabolic.
I see what your role is, Nick. Cause I hear when I'm listening to the show, I could tell you're taking that role of the audience to sort of get Ryan to open up more about some of these ideas. But then, like, because you'll be like, oh, really? No way. And then, like, in the next breath, you drop some, like, high-level esoteric knowledge. I'm like, Nick knows what he's talking about.
Hey, yo, don't give away the can't look. You can't let him look behind the curtain, bro. Come on, now. You're out of me right now. I kind of act as a translator. I like to think I act as a translator.
There you go.
That's a good way to put it. We've never said that, but that's a good way to put it.
How it's been in my head. I'm like, you know, the average person, when Ryan goes on a Leo rant, like he often does.
I'm a Leo, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. As if anyone didn't know that just by seeing you. I tell Ryan all the time, he's exactly like my dad. They're both Leos.
Our birthdays are one day apart, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I take a lot of the terminology, the kind of out there concepts, the esoterica, the occult, you know, a lot of it can seem kind of intimidating and, you know, it's scary. Big words, it's big phrases, it's weird, you know, whatever. I kind of try to like soften the blow by being silly. I like to be silly and lighthearted. And in that way, I think of myself as a translator. So I think that about covers everything. I think I've talked
enough. Yeah, that's definitely an accurate representation of your part of the formula here that I think works really well. Ryan, you're the namesake of the show. Bledsoe said so. That's you, Ryan Bledsoe. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about your family story, but maybe for your angle right now, maybe just talk about your idea about this show, what the original vision was, what you hope this sort of can do for the society. What's your take on that? And then we'll get into the story of the Bledsoe family.
Okay, sure. So this is guest Ryan. So you might hear me say some things you didn't expect, but I'm going to keep it hunted with you, you know? So, yeah. So host Ryan's a little different than guest Ryan. So anyway, so Bledsoe Said So is a project. From the start, when I was finally confident that I was going to do this, I always had it in my head that it is a meta documentary project. And I've been saying that since, we're coming up on a year on June 29th that we've been out. And in my mind, it's always been a meta documentary project. So like Alex was saying, a few years ago, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, we were working together at a sales job, and he had the idea first, and then Nick had the same exact idea, but separately, but they didn't know each other yet, because Alex and I live in one town, Nick lives in another town. So Alex is like, dude, you're really good at this, you're good at explaining shit, let's start a podcast. Fast forward a year or two later, Nick is like, dude, we've got to start a podcast. And I finally came around after these two guys, I don't want to say pressured in a bad way, but they pushed me like, we really got to do this. And the reason they said that, because the audience hasn't really heard this part yet, is my father, Chris Bledsoe Sr., is factually one of the most famous modern UFO cases of all time. And it's funny that I say that because the mainstream won't touch him. Like if you Google him, if you Google search Chris Bledsoe UFO, a couple little dinky things pop up. But if you DuckDuckGo search him, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of endless hits about my dad. And we were on the Discovery Channel when I was about 14, 15 years old. And that's the story Nick is referring to when he came over to the house all those years ago. This was 14 or 15 years ago. My brother made the comment like, maybe it's aliens. And I was freaking out because like my dad was on TV for seeing these entities and the government getting involved and all that. And then we got made fun of at school. So I was like super embarrassed at the time about coming out with it. As I grew up into my 20s, the entity interaction started really ramping up. Like I said, I'm not sure if I've said this yet. It started when I was 13 years old. I'm 28, going on 29 now in a couple months. So it's literally been 15, 16 years of absolutely insane paranormal activity happening at my property and around my family. And just to like kind of name a few organizations that have been involved with us, there's been like DARPA, CIA, NASA, NSA, Homeland Security, Army Intelligence, Navy Intelligence, Air Force Intelligence. It just goes on and on and on. I've even met people who used to serve in the OSS, which was the precursor to CIA, for anybody who didn't know that. Yeah, and like we've met like some like Israeli intelligence type people, British intelligence. It just goes on and on and on. Almost every single military intelligence agency in the world has touched hands, metaphorically speaking, with my family because they're just like desperate to know what's going on at our property. And like, just to kind of wrap this little part up, for example, Lou Elizondo, I'm pretty sure you talk about him in some of your books, right? Yeah, like he's publicly talked about my family. Shit, now the Monroe Institute is talking about my dad and posting photos with him and stuff. And it's just crazy. Like, because of this history, that if people go to our show, they'll catch up on all that history. That's why we do this, because there's a lot of real history into the whole phenomenon thing. So moving forward, my vision with the project, what you were asking, is the meta documentary thing comes into play because for 9 years we were negotiating a Hollywood deal with some very big Hollywood hitters. Like, are you familiar with The Conjuring?
Mm-hmm.
The guys who wrote that movie for 9 years were writing a life series about my family, and it fell through. They claimed there was government interference, bad actors, things like that. How could I know for sure? Maybe they're just saying that. I have no clue. And a few years ago, finally, when these boys were pressuring me to get out there and just do what we're doing, I said, you know what? Am I allowed to curse on this show?
Yeah, go for it.
I said, you know what? Fuck it, man. They're not going to tell my story. I'm going to tell my story. And like, the formula works. I couldn't have a better team than Nick and Alex. And of course, my wife, who is our kind of like our manager. She keeps us in line. And that's it. Like, that's all I want to say about the show itself. And I figured maybe we could use our time wisely and kind of go into like some of the experiences.
Absolutely. I think that another plug for another episode, the one where you talk to your brother, Chris Bledsoe Jr., is that right?
Yeah, what'd you think about that
fucking
one?
Fucking powerful, man. That was a powerful episode, dude. And it's like, if there's people out there who, because I'm a skeptical guy myself, you know what I mean? Like I don't know you guys, and I often think like, well, maybe they're just being like sensitive and seeing stuff and they think it's aliens like that. You know, that's one of the possibilities in my head. And when I listened to that episode, I was like, bro, either this guy's like an Academy Award actor or like this is some real stuff.
Literally.
Man. This guy was affected. And man, the shout out to Junior for the vulnerability he showed there, man. And
oh, yeah,
that was a powerful episode, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The crazy thing to me about it, and you know, Ryan can attest, he never talks to anyone about mm-hmm. that.
No.
Never. I've been close with the Bledsoes 15 years. Never have we had a conversation about it once.
Wow, really?
Until that moment. Yeah.
He's always been, you know, very closed off. And I, of course, always wanted to be respectful sure. of that, you know. Sure. And so that was the first time that, you know, he's like my older brother. Like, I've spent ridiculous amounts of times with the Bledsoes.
We lived half a mile apart. We would literally walk to each other's house. Like, sometimes he'd stay at my place a week at a time, you know.
Yeah, we are family, like, really, truly.
Literally.
And never had I had a conversation with him about it because of how traumatic it was.
It was forbidden to bring it up to Chris Jr. And for a little context for the audience who's like, what the hell are they talking about? This Discovery Channel documentary came out in, I always get the year fuzzy because I was a young kid, but it was either 2008 or 2009. For the audience, they could just Google UFOs over Earth, episode 1, season 1, Christopher Bledsoe, the Fayetteville incident. I think it's like $2 on Amazon now. It used to be free on YouTube, whatever. And anyway, they put my brother on there when he was a 17-year-old kid, fresh off of his experience. And it traumatized him. The ridicule that he received was unbelievable. And the really messed up part is how they basically falsely said that we were being untruthful. The way that the lie detector happened was they essentially, without going into a crazy amount of detail, because we have a lot to cover, what they did is they tricked my dad to going into a room without even having met them yet. They said they would be at our property at 9 a.m. or something like that. And then like an hour after that comes by, they're supposed to be off of a plane landing from California, these Discovery Channel people showing up at our house. Hey, nice to meet you. Getting some background information. None of that happened like they said. Hmm. Instead, what happened was when that time that we were expecting them to be at our door, they called my dad and said, hey, Chris, change of plans. We're running late. Can you show up at this hotel off I-95? My dad gets in there. He walks in the door. They whisk him into a room. There's cameras on him. There's an FBI agent working a lie detector test. And they immediately start filming. And they asked him 30 plus questions over 4 hours, over and over and over. And I'm talking, my dad was so like worn out by this. He was literally dozing off, falling asleep. And when they finally got an inconclusive, they aired that on the Discovery Channel.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to psychologically break my dad to get that
inconclusive. Well, and they know. So if you ever watch Adam Conover had a show called Adam Ruins Everything. I don't know if you guys ever seen
that.
Oh,
yeah. I've heard of it.
He did an episode on, I believe, he did an episode on lie detectors and basically debunked them. And I don't want to say they're even not admissible in a court of law because they're just not. So like subjective.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, let's I feel like now's a good time as any, right? Let's for the audience who's like, what are you guys talking about? Why is Bledsoe the alien guy? give us your take on this. Like, what's your story of how you guys made contact with alien life forms?
Okay, so here's what happened. Okay, so keep in mind, I was only a 13-year-old child. Initially, the original encounter was my father and my oldest brother, Chris Jr. I am telling this secondhand. I was not at this initial encounter, so I'm going off memory here. Anyway, so it's 2007, January 8th. And it is, I want to say it's a Friday, not super important, but I just always remember it that for some reason. And my dad and my brother had just finished a contracting job over here near the beach in North Carolina. And they're carpenters by trade. And my dad and my brother, they get back from the beach and they had three other contractors working with them. So just a slight amount of context. Before that, my dad owned a multi-million dollar massive housing business. I don't know the technical term. Like, he would sell homes, he would build them and sell them, and house development, whatever. And it was millions and millions of dollars, huge payroll, like hundreds of crew members or whatever. We lost all that, went all down the tube. We went bankrupt. We had to move across town out towards Nick, out in the country. And like, we were just literally at rock bottom as a family.
I like how it's like, you know, out by where Nick is, out there in the bumpkins.
It crossed my mind, but I was like, obviously.
I don't mean it like that.
That's funny.
I honestly didn't mean it like that, but it is that way. Like, Nick really did live on the outskirts of town. He grew up on the outskirts of our town towards the country.
Right,
and
I'm just kidding, man. No disrespect.
Oh, hell yeah. No, it's all disrespect. I'm so proud that I grew up in the country.
Me too, man.
Grays Creek.
I wouldn't change a thing. Hey, my wife warned me. We probably shouldn't be saying that on camera anymore. It's okay. It's just a joke. Anyway, so he said Grays Creek. Anyway, so we lost everything. Like, went from being millionaires to just bankrupt. And I'm not saying that to bring pity. I'm saying that to tell people where we were. So my father was extremely depressed. This was a year or two following all of this tragic loss as a family. He had four little kids, you know, some years like he couldn't even afford Christmas. And, you know, just as a father, think about like mentally where you would be in that kind of scenario. And honestly, like, without sugarcoating it, he was basically suicidal at this time. And he goes out fishing on the river with my brother, again, Chris Jr., and his three contractors. Now, all that stuff to say, my dad is just not having a good time. He's very depressed. He's very miserable. He's thinking to him. Oh, and he's very sick with Crohn's disease. I forgot to mention that. At the time, he had been suffering for 17 years with Crohn's disease, which is an incurable autoimmune condition that really wreaks havoc on your digestive system. Extreme pain and extreme digestive complications. So they're all fishing. They're all trying to have a good time. It's a cold night in January. It's about 4 or 4:30. So, like, you know, in North Carolina in the winter, that's about twilight. It's dark at about 5, 5:30 over here. And around this time, dad is just like so miserable. He's so bored. And he's thinking to himself, like, I can't go on like this. I can't live like this. I just wish that God would either heal me or kill me. You know,
And just background context, what faith, what level of engagement?
Christian.
What faith are you guys at this point?
Good point. Very Christian. Pentecostal holiness. Okay. My dad was raised Southern Baptist. My mom was raised Pentecostal. When my parents got together, my dad became Pentecostal, and we were raised this way. Very, very strict Christian.
Oh, okay.
Very strict Christian.
Okay.
And I don't mean like, you know, we just really believed it. We just really tried to live.
Oh, yeah. Speaking in tongues. Like, yeah. Taking most of the Bible literally. Like
all of it, literally. All of it.
Pretty much all of it. Yeah. Don't cut your hair.
Yes. The way I was raised was the entire Bible is literal. Every word.
Okay. Okay.
And naturally, I don't, you know, believe that anymore. So going forward, he's just like, you know, God, he's literally in his mind, he's just crying out to God, heal me or kill me. Like, I cannot go on like this anymore. And he starts to walk away from the group. Now, this is really deep out in the country. I'm talking like no streetlights. Nick can attest. He's been there. This is probably
the Cape Fear River. It's dark.
It's dark. There is nothing. Like, literally, they find corpses in there from people swimming and being lost
all the time.
Yeah. It is just way out in the woods.
A kid we went to high school with died in that river. Like
recently,
all the time. Yeah. Once a month, probably at least.
Yeah. It's tragic. Actually, two people we know. Anyway, not relevant. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. And anyway, so really deep out in the woods. That's important for later. It's dark. There is no lights around other than if you have a fire or a flashlight or whatever, a truck. And keep in mind, this was 2007. Like, phones were not omnipresent at the time. Not everybody just had cell phones, you know? It was a different world back then. So my dad's walking away from the group. He starts walking up the half mile, very narrow, one car sized dirt and mud incline trail to get back up to the road. Now, This was a extremely narrow trail surrounded by thick woods on either side, and it's muddy. Literally only one car can come in and out. And honestly, a car can't even do it. It has to be a truck. And dad is walking this trail. It takes him about 15 minutes. And as he's walking up this trail, he's looking around and he's freaking out because he's hearing rustling in the bushes. He's hearing little tiny little critters of some sort. He never saw them yet, but he's hearing these critters track his movements. And when he stops, they stop. Now, my dad was a lifelong hunter. He actually held a record for killing one of the biggest bears ever in North Carolina many, many years ago. He was just a fearless dude in the woods. I mean, when he was a little kid, my grandpa would throw him out in the woods with no flashlight, late at night, 10 years old, dirt roads, just to see if he could make his way back home. Like, really messed up shit used to happen back in the boonies. And this was the first time as an adult man that he was like, I am very unsettled right now. You know, he couldn't figure out what it was. Was it a turkey? Was it a deer? Was it, you never know. Was it a chicken? He had no clue. It was, the sounds were unnerving him. He walks to the top of the trail. And when he gets to the top, like I said, it's twilight. He looks at the horizon and there are two huge balls of fire is how he described them. They were giant orange orbs way off in the distance where the sun should have been, but the sun was not visible because it was twilight at the time. It was getting dark. And at first he didn't even realize there's two. There should be only one. Then a third one pops up. It just literally materializes and shoots over to the other two. So now he's seeing three massive orange orbs of fire on the horizon. He's freaking out. Oh my God, is this aliens? Is it UFOs? What's going on? Is it at the end of the world? He turns around and he sprints back. So he sprints down that narrow trail. By this time, it is completely dark. Now, I mentioned earlier that he walked up at twilight, which was round about 4:30 or 5. I'm going to cut forward a little bit because this is extremely integral to the entirety of the story. It was determined later that he did not realize this, but he was missing for 4 hours, and he truthfully walked down at about 11 p.m. It took him a year to reconcile that he had missing time, which is a common phenomenon with like entity abduction or whatever you want to call it. So in my dad's perspective, he walks up there, he sees the shit, he turns around and he runs. But in reality, he was gone 4 hours. So cutting back in, from my dad's perspective, he's running down now. He gets back to the guys. The truck is in a different place. The campfire is out. None of them are fishing anymore. And it's completely dark. He has no clue it's 11. Remember, he didn't have a cell phone back then. This is, you know, different time. And they're all freaking out. Where have you been? Where the hell have you been? We've been looking forever for you. Round about this time, my brother, Chris Jr., comes out of the woods frantic. I'm talking screaming, crying, in mortal terror. 17-year-old kid. He says, Dad, I've been seeing these creatures in the woods. Where have you been? And at the same time, my dad's like, I saw these UFOs. Now it's clicking that something's going on. They are freaking the hell out. We're going to switch perspectives. So my brother, Chris Jr., inside that four-hour window that my dad was gone, Chris Jr. walked off into the woods and he saw two red orbs bobbing up and down in the woods. He walks into the woods, and as he gets closer, he sees those two red orbs split into four. And as those orbs keep bobbing closer, they're these little entities, and each of them had two red glowing eyes. They were 3 to 4 foot tall, and they ran on all fours, but they walked on 2 feet. And they were walking around, and they were like shadowy. They were kind of translucent and visible like glass, but they had a soft glow emitting off of them from their red eyes. And they were picking things up in the woods, like, you know, little beer cans and Mountain Dew cans and things, you know, trash. They were just looking at it. And at all,
they had triangles on their chest too, right?
They did, but he didn't see that at the time. My dad saw it later.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yes, they did. They had triangles on their chest, which coincidentally is why our symbol is the triangle. I'm going to go into that later.
Yeah.
What'd you guys call it? Double drip? Double drip?
I'm crossfaded. Yeah. I'm wearing my Isaac Weishaupt shirt and my Bledsoe Sensei hat.
We stay crossfaded.
Yeah, we crossfaded. Yeah. But yeah, that's great, man.
Represent,
dude.
It's
so,
a great hat, by the way.
Thank you. I can say this on your show, so they will soon be available to all. Our audience doesn't even know that yet. So,
Yes, sir. Exclusive.
Yeah, a little exclusive. A little exclusive. We've been working hard behind the scenes. So anyway, back to the story, because this is a long story. So so Chris Jr. at any given time during this, what he estimates may have been 2 hours, one of those two entities was staring him in the eyes the entire sequence. And while this was happening, he could not move. He was frozen. He was paralyzed, whatever you want to call it. To this day, he doesn't know. All he knows is he could not move. He could not scream. He could not cry. He could not shout. He couldn't say a word. He couldn't do anything. And he sat there frozen for an hour or two, however long, staring in the eyes of one of these entities. And then when my dad ran back down from his encounter, he was missing 4 hours. When my dad ran back down, the entities released him and they literally dove and disappeared into a pile of sticks. And my brother was free. He could move. He looks over at the pile of sticks and he sees the red eyes still peeking out at him. It freaked him out. And he thinks maybe it was to show him, like, yes, we were real. So they're all freaking out at this point. Now everybody's together. The three contractors, they didn't see any of this happening. And they're just like, what the fuck is going on? You know, everyone's freaking out. And then one of these guys says, look, shouts it. And they look up in the sky and what looked like 8 or 9 stars, like white, literal like stars, 8 or 9 of them scrambled around in the sky, just fucking scrambled. And then 1 or 2 of them shot over on the other side of the river and landed in the trees and was emitting a glow in the woods. Now they're all freaking out. They jump in the truck because my dad had 1 5-seater truck. They all rode together. They are literally arguing over who gets to go home to see their family last because they're sure it's the end of the world. Mm. And they get the hell out of there. They see crafts weaving like in and out of their trajectory home. They continue seeing them on the way home. And then the night finally culminates when my dad gets back to our house and he sees one of those same little 3 to 4 foot tall entities in the backyard. But this time it's emitting light. It's glowing. It's glowing like the moon. You know, if you can imagine kind of like a little bit like a yellowish sort of whitish bluish. Excuse me, like a glow coming off of it. And it had a very clear triangle on its chest. And I'm kind of skipping through details here. It's on the documentary. And my dad says, all right, you got me. And the being put in his mind, they didn't use their mouth ever. They've never used their mouths when they spoke to my dad over the many years. It's always in his head. And he said, you don't understand. We're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you. Now, this is the next phase. A year goes by. My mom, myself, my sister, and my other older brother, Jeremy, who Nick was referring to, he and I are a lot closer in age, so we were always together. During this sequence, we were staying across town with my mother's mother, who is very afraid of the dark. And she she doesn't like to stay by herself. She's a widow. And my uncle lives with her to take care of her. But when he's out of town, like somebody's got to stay with her. So we stayed with her that weekend. It is what it is. When I got home from school, because I was still going to school across town out in the country. When I got home from school and off the school bus on Monday, little bit of context, my father's mother and father were my next door neighbor. Because if you know anything about the South, you live next to your grandparents. Isn't that right, Nick?
I literally, my parents
next to his grandparents.
I grew up. It's also Isaac, you can attest, that's a Greek thing too. That's for sure close. A Greek thing too.
Keep the little birdies close to the nest.
Exactly. Yeah, I have no context there, but like, it's funny. Yeah. Nick and I grew up literally like going to each other's grandparents' house next door.
Ryan, have you ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? They literally like live in a row. Like they literally all live next to each other.
That's like hilarious. My family, but we're not Greek.
And all the kids are named Nick, by the way. Like every kid. It's
prophecy fulfilled.
When I first started listening to your show, I kept forgetting who was the Greek one because Alex is also a Greek name, you know?
Yeah.
He's Italian,
exactly.
Right, Alex?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Which is close enough. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's Mediterranean. We're all hairy. Yeah. It's basically the same.
Your neighbor's dog.
Garlic. So, you know, it's. Yeah.
I literally get off the school bus on Monday, and I shit you not. At that time, I was in the 8th grade. My parents would usually be gone when I would get off the bus. Chris Jr. was working with Dad at the time. Jeremy was in high school, so he was in school a little longer than me. My little sister, Emily, would go across town and stay with my grandma. So I was alone for like an hour or two every day after school. So I'd walk next door and I'd watch little soap operas with my grandma and grandpa. And this day was different because when I got into the house, my grandpa looked at me and I shit you not, man, I will never forget this. This is one of the most impactful things I've ever heard in my life. Imagine 13 years old, right? You walk in your grandpa's house. He said, boy, your daddy's been in the woods smoking dope and he's seen green boogerman last night. And I said, what do you mean? My dad doesn't smoke dope. He to this day, he doesn't even drink beer. Like he does not drink beer especially at the time. It was just a different thing going on in our lives. And I was like, there's no way, you know, there's something more to this. I get home that night. Dad tells me everything. That was the one time that I talked about it with Chris Jr. that night when I first found out about it. And then we didn't talk about it again for probably 5 years. I remember being 18 and in college. And because of the trauma that he experienced from being face to face with these entities, he couldn't move for hours. He was frozen. He was completely powerless. It honestly, it just fucked him up really bad, you know. And then to make things worse, when my dad told my mom and then told our family, everyone came down on it like it was evil. It was satanic. It was demonic. I kid you not, Isaac. This is a true story. We had a Baptist priest at our house throwing holy oil at my dad, trying to get Satan out of him because he was dealing with demons. To me, that's literally one of the most traumatic things I've ever seen in my entire life. 13 years old, was a pastor trying to exorcise my dad, who to me was the good guy. Like, I believed it, you know. A year goes by. My parents are fighting really bad. It's chaos. It's just like insanity in the house.
So just to sort of get inside view here, are you saying that your father, when this happened, did he tell your mother right away when it happened, like, yep, that night? And did she believe him, or was she kind of like torn between? Oh, she didn't believe him.
No, that's a major part of it. She didn't believe him for years. Actually, pretty much nobody did except for his kids. And then so for a whole year, my dad kept it to himself, and he stayed locked up in his room with pure depression because no one believed him except his kids.
You know, like, different time back then, you know, is
different time,
different world. Yeah.
And
yeah,
in the South, in the Bible Belt. Yeah. That's no.
Yes,
no.
It's seriously like I'm not kidding you. A pastor, my mother called a pastor to come to our house and throw holy oil on my dad to try to exorcise him. Like, it was extreme. It was like a horror movie in my home at all times. It was chaos. It was screaming. It was crying. It was mom and dad fighting. You know, social services were getting involved. All kinds of just crazy shit was happening. I had to go to a guidance counselor at school because of all the just complete pandemonium at the home. A year goes by. My dad is in extreme depression. He's literally screaming in his sleep. He's having nightmares. He's describing being in a room with these things surrounding him. He's describing Bigfoot, all kinds of weird shit in his sleep, screaming and cold sweats. So finally, after 10 months, he and I are watching TV together. It was like UFO Files or UFO Channel, or it was one of those cheesy early 2000s shows that's like, talks about just here's a little conspiracy video of a UFO, and they'll have some personality like Richard Burns or whatever his name, Bill Burns. And they'll talk about it. And then it's like, if you see a UFO, report it to MUFON.com. So what did we do? 10 months later, my dad reported it to MUFON.com. And we had no clue they were involved with the government. We literally saw it on TV. Fast forward that a little bit. Within a week or two, MUFON reads his report. They get back to him. Draw what you experienced. They send a packet in the mail. Dad draws it. Chris Jr. draws it. He sends it back. Then MUFON gets up with him again. We want to send an investigator out, a local guy. He comes out. Local guy comes out. He says, oh my God, this is a CE4 complete entity abduction case. This is huge. I'm shooting it to headquarters. Next thing you know, the entire president of the United States, like, I should rephrase that. Every state has their own chapter of MUFON.
The whole president. The entire president.
I'm going to rephrase it.
Obama shows up.
MUFON has a state-to-state chapter. The guy who came was the president of the entire organization countrywide. Wow. Like, the highest member of MUFON, which I later was told by Jim Simivan, you've actually wrote about this individual. Whether you named him or not, you definitely wrote about him in User Illusion because you talk about To the Stars, and he's the vice president. Yeah, there's a whole rabbit hole, and I'm kind of moving forward to the first part. So MUFON gets involved. They fucked us over with the documentary. They were totally government.
MUFON hooked you in with Discovery Channel for a documentary? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. They came to our property. They did an investigation. They got a ton of evidence. They got like radiation burns in the grass and in the trees where the entity stood. They got all kinds of live data. Didn't show any of that on the documentary. They got Discovery Channel out. They tried. They promised us as a family that we were going to be believed and it was going to be worldwide. And like, we were going to be famous and people would like, you know, like, we'd be heroes. We brought the truth to the world. And then when they dropped the episode, it made us look like shit. And we were totally mocked and ridiculed. That was my formative moment in my childhood when I knew that someday I would grow up and I would stick it back to them. And I would square up with them and be like, you know what? Here's what's up. Like, I'm a grown man now. And you know, this is what I'm about. And squad I would up, on dude. Squad up. And we did. We squatted up. And honestly, dude, like, to kind of shift gears for a brief second, I have to say, like, it's coming true. I just looked at our analytics today. We've been out less than a year. We are very blessed, very humbled. We've now passed over almost 300,000 downloads, like, in less than a year. Crazy. You actually we were talking about this a few months ago. We found out about the listen notes thing and like finding your percentage, like so crazy, dude. Your show is in the top 0.1%. Amazing. Like that's phenomenal. And I told you I was coming for the 1%. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And my show is in the top 1.5%.
There you go.
Well, now we're in the 1%.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. We're the problem elite now, status. The 1%.
Right? Yeah, yeah. We're part of the podcasting elite, you know?
Dang, like, yeah. Man.
That's impressive.
We're the Illuminati, bro.
Yeah. But anyway, I say all that to say, like, it's weird because I can't deny, like, it's coming true what we set out to do.
You're going to have a bigger audience. So podcasting is a very powerful thing. And it's, you know, so like they say Joe Rogan's audience is larger than CNN's largest show and that kind of thing. Sure. Oh, totally. Podcasting is way more powerful than the cable TV nowadays, especially as like the older generation, you know, moves on. So I mean, when you say you're going to stick it to the people that tried to make you guys look bad, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I can honestly tell you, and we can come back to this later, but like this is a fact. The United States government watches and listens to my program with bated breath.
Wow, and, really?
Yes, and I'm not going to go into crazy detail about this, because it's something that we discussed off air that I was like, I got to kind of dance the line with this one. But let's just say there is some content that I put out that we physically, my dad physically received phone calls with the caller ID saying US Gov, saying like, please do not continue to allow your son to post this kind of content in a roundabout way. And my dad said, I mean, fuck it. He's a grown man. I can't stop him. So like major props to my dad on that one. Anyway, so back to what I was saying, the MUFON, they got involved. They screwed us over. And like, that was my very formative years of my childhood.
Do you feel like MUFON screwed you over in the sense that they're the ones that hooked you up with Discovery and there was like maybe an agenda to make you guys look bad through MUFON? I thought MUFON's whole purpose was to investigate UFOs and find legitimate things, or is that not really the case?
It's not really that. And actually your audience will like this. So at the highest levels of MUFON, there have been spiritual sexual cults. It gets wild. And the most recent director of MUFON, not the guy that did our hack job documentary 14 years ago, but like the most recent director of MUFON, he was arrested for pedophilia. And like, you'll find that MUFON is very much involved with the elite, the political elite, what have you. And check this, Robert Bigelow, 1% billionaire guy who's funding a lot of this Skinwalker Ranch, all this shit. He formed a group called OSAP, which is, I don't know what the acronym means, but are you familiar? You're familiar with OSAP?
Nope.
Okay. So he basically,
it's the new task force for UAPs, right?
It's the older one. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it's the second one, or it was ATIP. So
ATIP was the UAP one.
Okay.
OSAP was the metaphysical consciousness one. And they kind of like touched hands with one another, but they had specifically different functions.
Okay.
And straight up, man, like Lou Elizondo was asked on air on a podcast. I can send you the video sometime. And he was asked, like, is it true that the Bledsoe family was the first ATIP case? And Lou said, no, probably OSAP, which was funny. It's like he's right there acknowledging that OSAP, you know, was involved with our case. But so Robert Bigelow funded the OSAP thing, and he used the MUFON STAR team to gain data about this kind of like consciousness, life after death sort of thing. And if anybody out there does the research, MUFON STAR team is who hit the scene on my property back in 2008 or 2009. So there's some weird like back channel government shit that had been happening with my family from the start through Bigelow and through OSAP and through MUFON.
So you think these things were, do you think there was like a coordinated effort between,
yes,
I mean, we'll say the government with MUFON, with
yes,
Discovery to,
yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And I say that because I was personally told by a man named Jim Simivan, who is he's one of the highest level members of the CIA, like period. If anybody knows anything about contractors ranks and intelligence and clandestine industries, the ranks are GS. It's not like the Army where you have like a private, a captain, a corporal, blah, blah, blah. They have equivalent GS ranks, which are only numbered. And I believe the highest rank is GS-21. And this man who I'm referring to, Jim Simivan, was a GS-19, which if you do the conversion rate to the U.S. Army ranks, is the equivalent of a two-star general. And he literally ran the spy program for the CIA for the entire Northern Hemisphere, director of operations. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to like gas him up or whatever.
Well, he runs the To the Stars Academy podcast. Yes. And I just listened to the episodes with Peter LaVenda, who, if people read my Use Your Illusion books, they know that because look, my whole perspective is there's an occult component to the phenomenon and you're right. Going on.
And you're right. I'm going to go into that.
Okay. And anyways, Peter LaVenda is very much a high level occultist.
Yes. Yeah.
And anyway, so go ahead.
That's why I fuck with your show so hard, dude. Because you're on it. You're literally on it.
Even though I've got my Christian warrior angle sometimes that it's like, you know,
hey, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Spirituality is spirituality.
Right. Period. Yeah. We're not here to.
Yeah, exactly. And like I've said multiple times with the alien thing, I believe there's entities from some other dimension. I believe they could be angels, they could be demons. My whole thing, as far as me personally trying to make contact with them, is I don't have the power of discernment to know which thing I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Because anyway, go ahead. This isn't about me. This is your story, bro. Let's hear the story. Go ahead.
It's okay. And there's both, by the way. There are angelic beings and there are demonic entities. But it, you know, the whole agenda and all that shit is this like physical alien fear, this threat, this militarization, and they're jamming our radars, blah, blah, blah. It's all a crock of shit. Anyway, so Jim told me to my face that the To the Stars guy. He told me that the guy who was at the time the president of MUFON, who headed up the documentary. Like, if anybody watches the documentary, the guy's in it. And he told me personally, Jim did, about the other guy whose name I don't want to say because whatever. He said that guy is a low-level CIA spook, and he was probably dropped in there to hatchet your family to death and make you look bad with the documentary. And I feel so sorry for your family. And I said, Jim, when did you find out about my family? He said, oh, the second it was reported, every intelligence agency in the world knew about it, and your family has been studied ever since as the hot UFO case or whatever. So, like, why would he tell me that? Is he telling me the truth or is he lying? I don't know, but he said it. Anyway, so we move forward. The documentary's out. 5 years pass. Okay. We're going to really get into the good shit. Why my dad blew up in the CIA world. And anyway, so 2012 comes around. At this point, I'm 18 and it's Easter. It's the day, it's either Easter night or the day after Easter. So it would have been a Monday. My dad goes to bed. 3 a.m. He hears a voice that says, arise. And he wakes up and it says something to the effect of like, get dressed, whatever. He puts his clothes on, he walks outside, and he sees these three entities. I forgot to mention that when my dad had his hypnotic regression in conjunction with the Discovery Channel documentary, he recalled the four missing hours, and he was face-to-face with three to four very large, very tall entities, 7 to 8 foot tall, and they told him straight out, we work for creation, we tend to life like a terrarium, basically like God is real, you know, and we protect you and your family and we're trying to help the human race, you know, and the government.
We have an episode of the show where we read the transcript of the regression.
Yep. Episode 9.
Yeah. And like you will be able to hear his words recalling, you know, it's me reading the transcript, recalling, you know, those memories from that night. And that's another thing, like you mentioned, you know, when you see Chris Jr. talk about his experience, it's undeniable. You know, even hearing these words secondhand from this regression, it's like, there's no doubt. It's so real and traumatic. Like,
yeah,
the trauma is, you can't fake trauma. You know what I mean? It's really profound. Check it out if you guys, you know, if that sounds interesting, it's really interesting.
It was traumatic enough to me to be sitting here now, like with such a passion to like be making this my life, you know, like, anyway, I think I have a different view of trauma. I think it empowers people if they learn to embrace it. And anyway, so the entities cut back a little bit. They basically told him, like, we serve creation. We tend to all life like a terrarium. They showed my dad the pyramids, that there was some spiritual significance there. And then now we're going forward. 5 years have passed. So when he stepped outside, those same entities were in the yard. But as he got closer and closer to them, they were like, follow us. And he always had this feeling like they feel familiar to me. Like maybe they're my brothers or family somehow. They walked him through the yard. And like I said earlier, we had hunting dogs in the yard. We had a huge L-shaped kennel full of like 10 to 20 hounds for bear and deer hunting. Anyway, these entities lead him to this kennel and they hand him this little thing. Now, it was a metaphorical thing. Everybody is so caught up on what it was, but they explained to him that it was metaphorical and it represented humanity being confused and not knowing which way to go to be in harmony with nature. But anyway, this thing they put in his hand looked like a little tiny, imagine like a chihuahua, like the body and the shape of a chihuahua, but with no legs, no head, and no tail. It's just the torso.
Just a blob.
Just a blob. Yeah, just like a little blob. They put that in his hands and it was like, prickly. Like I say prickly as if like, imagine it's gnashing at you, but it has no mouth. It has no teeth. And it was pricking at him. And he's like, oh, like, fuck, this hurts. You know, like it's hurting me. And they're like, don't lose this. It is your burden to keep up with this. They disappeared. My dad's walking through the woods. He's like, this fucking thing is biting me, but it has no mouth. He's freaking out. So he gets to the dog kennel. He throws it in there. It's gone again. Like it was metaphorical. It might not have even physically really been there. These beings are interdimensional. They do weird shit. Let me just say, like, literally one of them mooed at me like a cow one time. I know that's crazy, but whatever. Anyway,
it's facts.
It's true. Yeah. And, so my dad turns around after throwing that little thing in the kennel. And when he does, there is this big ethereal ghostly bull. And it charges my dad and it goes through him. And he said, it feels like a strong wind. He gets knocked on his back and he turns over. He didn't feel like pain or anything. It was just like a strong wind blowing him down. He gets up on his knees. And when he looks up, he's not standing up yet. He's on his hands and knees looking up. He sees this. It's kind of hard to see in the image, but it's this female. She has blonde hair, blue eyes. She's white. She has a white dress that is literally from her neck down to her ankles, and it literally twinkled like the stars in the night sky. And she's floating, believe it or not. She's floating off the ground about 4 or 5 feet, and she's ethereal, like kind of like a ghost or a spirit. She looks at my dad, and she says, you know why I'm here? And he's basically like, yeah, I do, actually. You know, he didn't literally say that, but you know, it's just the attitude. And she goes, you know, your story is your burden and you have to tell it or there's going to be blood on your hands. For 5 years following the documentary, he didn't speak publicly anymore. He was ashamed. He was emotionally harmed and devastated, and he was quiet for 5 years. But people kept reaching out and coming to our property. Literally, people camped in the yard. It was a phenomenon. It was growing. It was growing because it was on TV. It had the unexpected positive effect that just built this huge following, and dad shunned it, pushed it away. So basically the lady came to kick him in the ass and say, get back out there and tell your story. It's going to help humanity someday. She takes him to Egypt. She shows him the pyramids and the Sphinx. She says that her name is Hathor. She is the manifestation of the cosmic force of love, divinity, motherhood, that she basically is the mother of all life in all the universe, and that the feminine energy of the cosmos or whatever, as we become closer to the age of Aquarius, will come back into balance. She said that there are very negative, dark people at the top of humanity who are intentionally making the book of Revelations in the Bible play out like a drama on a global stage so that we will all believe and accept the end of the world and be destroyed in some cataclysm, because prophecies only come true if people believe in them and the steps start to happen. And like every little step in a prophecy is like turning another key on a door to open it. You know what I mean? And she basically said, we can avoid the cataclysms. We can avoid the end times if the story gets told around the world about love and the divine mother and that being restored into the truth of the Trinity, which was hidden by the Catholic Church, that it's not just the mother, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. the ancient truth is that it's actually the Father, the Mother, and the Son. And that's essentially it. She said that the hidden one is named Amun-Ra, and that if we look into the mysteries of Egypt, we'll begin to understand. And I started having dreams about Egypt, about Amun-Ra, and about consciousness, and about all this stuff. And I had a dream, like I was looking in a garden, and there was this black fog over the garden. And when I opened the gate and walked into the garden, I kind of merged into the black fog, but I saw a different perspective. I now saw the garden as if I was in the black fog, but the fog was gone and I was one of the entities. And I knew and understood in my dream that the entities are the forces of nature, just like they told my dad, who basically assist life on its spiritual evolution. She told my dad that consciousness is evolving, that we are all on a journey of the soul, essentially that we are reincarnating until we return to God in the eternal spirit world. And I did warn you before we got into this that it was going to be deep, but I don't hold back when it comes to, you know, spitting it out. So that's actually what I based our symbol on is the Philosopher's Stone. The entities had a triangle on their chest and they said it. They said it represented the true Trinity that's been hidden by basically the evil Vatican. They didn't say evil Vatican, but I've done the research, which is the true Trinity is the Father, the Mother, and the Son. That's what this represents. But it's also the union of the UFO phenomenon and the spiritual, you know, pyramids of Egypt. And essentially what this entity told my dad is that when the red star Regulus aligns with the gaze of the Sphinx in the constellation Leo just before dawn on the horizon, that we will shift into a new knowledge or a new level of awakening, and we will be in the age of Aquarius, which is an age of peace, love. We'll be back in harmony with that feminine energy. That doesn't mean all the, like, you know, the dark occult shit, like everybody has to be androgynous like Lucifer. That is not what that is not what was indicated at all. Power to anybody who wants to be however they want to be. I'm not saying this or that. I'm just saying this is not like a dark occult kind of thing. It was a very like, love is the feminine energy. The female energy is the love, kind of like they're commutative.
Is there a date that you said there was an alignment of the star to the Sphinx? Is there a date that that's supposed to happen specifically?
So this part makes me a little nervous because she did not give a date. But as I've said before, we were like involved with NASA for many years. One of our friends who has recently in the past couple years passed, but his name was Hal Povenmire. He was a very old like veteran NASA scientist. And he ran that specific alignment through a simulator, like a NASA star chart thing, and determined that that specific alignment would happen in the year 2026.
Wow. Okay.
But again, like the entity didn't give a date. So I'm like always torn on the subject. Like, do I believe the NASA guy or I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I really don't know. But
now there's a lot. I was writing down questions and ideas as we were talking here. So I'm just going to grab one at random. Your father, a big component of this as to why all the ABCs, we'll call them, that are so interested in your father's story, he had Crohn's disease. And at which point did they heal him of this?
I didn't even mention that. Thanks for asking. when he came back from his journey, so to speak, on the very original night in 07, he never took Crohn's medication ever again. He was in full remission.
Wow.
They healed him right on the spot. Yeah, he never suffered with it again. And he was better.
Wow. That's interesting. So, and the ABCs, that when I say the ABCs, right?
I know what you mean.
Over the years, you've had, like, how regular do you get visits or make contact with?
We're still getting them. Still getting them. Yeah. Like, again, I can't go into crazy amount of detail on this particular thing, but like, for example, my dad was just at the Monroe Institute literally like 3 or 4 days ago. By the time this is out, it'll been about a week and a half. And I'll just drop this and move on out of respect to my dad. There were definitely ABCs there. And I mean, high level. Let's say they're not always good. I have had death threats. I've had people come to me who basically said that God and Satan are one entity. They were connected with the CIA. There's a lot of context there. And they threatened to kill my family if we didn't tell our story the way that they wanted us to.
Oh, interesting.
I shit you not, they invited my dad to Bohemian Grove, and they told me that God and Satan are one entity, and that all the catastrophes of the world are done by the elites to whip us into shape with tough love by their satanic God. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Okay, so do you think that the, you know, like, it seems like you'll have representatives from, we'll say, the CIA or whatever. Some of them come with they want some information. They talk to you. They're pleasant. Yep. They're cool. But then some sort of harass you guys almost and want you to change your story to the world of what really was said to you.
And I'm going to drop this tea. I don't give a fuck talking about this one. And I think
Ryan, the phrase is spill the tea, bro. It's not, you ain't dropping tea. You drop a tea, you can't even drink it.
Bitch. Yeah, I dropped the ball there. Anyway, so
you mean you spilled the ball?
Yeah. I spilled the ball. So everybody knows Tom DeLonge, famous rock star, cool guy. He's he got involved with my dad for a little while there, and okay, so let's go into this one. This is really some UFO tea that most people have no clue about. My dad got involved with a man by the name of Timothy Taylor, who you wanted to talk about this. That is Tyler Durden in the book American Cosmic. And a little more tea for you, that book would have never happened if my dad didn't introduce them in the first place. So,
Wow. Yeah, because your dad's, I don't know if the whole story is necessarily revealed in American Cosmic, but he's definitely mentioned in there.
Yeah, but they never used my dad's name.
They don't use his name. Mm-mm.
Interesting. I wonder how I got the copy right here
underneath my Gucci Mane autobiography.
I didn't know Gucci Mane had an autobiography.
Anyway. Yeah, dude, it's sick.
I gotta read that.
It's so good.
Just to back up for just one second. So for the audience, American Cosmic is Professor Dana Pasulka's discussion about this UFO invisible college, we'll say.
Yep.
She basically lays out this story about how there's this wide sort of net of people that have been investigating this phenomenon, and she uses this alias of Tyler Durden for one particular member who talks about a lot of occult practices and how he, you know, does, I don't know, meditation and yoga and has a
particular diet. You're hitting it on the head, man. He tried to get my dad into Kundalini yoga.
All his methods of making contact, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, he says in the book, he says something like it cleans the antenna or something like that. Yeah,
He really stood by that. Like, he told us that stuff at our house. Yeah. He tried to get my dad into Kundalini yoga. He was really into like martial arts and doing stuff like that, like meditation. Dude, he showed up at our house one time and was talking to my dad, and he had like an Ouroboros on his shirt. And he started explaining to my dad what the fuck the Ouroboros was, how it was the serpent eating its tail. And he just always talked about occult symbolism. Like, he talked about the meaning of the inverted and the, you know, the pointing up and the pointing down triangles overlapping the 6-pointed star. Like, my first ever introduction to sacred geometry was probably from him, like, explaining this stuff to me. And
do you think that it seems to me like just a rudimentary sort of way of trying to wrap my head around your experience here. You've got sort of benevolent and malevolent sort of forces within the CIA or whoever, we'll say the ABCs.
Yeah.
And is this Tyler Durden guy, you know, that's the pseudonym, Tim Taylor or whatever his name is.
Is he good?
Is he part of like the good guys or the bad guys? Because
I do not trust him. I have, you know, it's hard for me to say because like, I know the CIA listens to me when I speak publicly. Yeah. Hey guys. But, you know, like, I also have this conscience.
Love that, you, ABCs.
Yeah, love you.
Don't turn me into a grease stain.
Thanks. You guys look you're cute okay, today.
If anybody here would have been sniped, it would have been me. And actually, believe it or not, I've had people DM me on Twitter who I knew were involved with the CIA. And I'm basically at the point now where I just laugh at them and say, fuck off, troll. Like, they can't do anything. All they have is fear. That is all they have. And anyway, so, like, it's hard for me to, like, be a open about some of these people because I've met them in person, and I know that a lot of these folks, like, I've had messages from CIA people who have read my content. And like, for example, I posted a screenshot of this hypothesis written by a DARPA scientist by the name of Hal Puthoff. And I got a message from Jim Simivan, the CIA guy who basically is the vice president of the Two Stars, saying like, how you doing, buddy? Hal didn't like that you posted his paper on Twitter. Please don't ever post that again. You know, like, I have paper trails that the CIA is monitoring my socials, so I really toe this little line.
Wow.
But my conscience compels me to be honest. I do not trust the Invisible College. I do not
really
think. Yes.
Do you say that? What do you think their take is? What are they trying to do with this phenomenon story that you think is
get
bad?
Rich and famous and glorious for being the ones who eventually brings it to humanity when they feel like we deserve it? If I'm being honest.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's all about it is the UFO elite, they are so called, but in reality, Bledsoe Setsa is the UFO elite, and we are constantly getting in the way of this government propaganda by just being ourselves and speaking our truth and letting it grow out to the internet. But
do you think there's going to be like Dr. Stephen Greer? He presents a similar sort of view on this whole thing, and his angle is always seems to be that, look, these people that are doing this stuff are trying to make it look like it's an alien threat so that
That's
we can build all these weapon systems that we don't really need because it's not a threat. Is it?
That is a fact, yeah.
Okay.
In my experience, in my opinion, in my belief, whatever, there is absolutely no threat from these entities. And what I think you do such a good job of, Isaac, why I love your show, why I loved Use Your Illusion. I have not read the second one yet. I'm very slow at getting around to books. But what I like about what you do is you are very good at deciphering the occult propaganda of trying to establish a dark alien religion, because that is true. That really is happening. They're trying to mindfuck or MK Ultra or whatever the entire world into having a very catered belief about the alien phenomenon.
Do you think about that? Speaking of that, do you think there's this, because one idea that they talk about often is this idea of presenting a global religion with the Antichrist alien god. Is that in line with the people that you say believe in Satan and God being the same being? Which is like a process church belief, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Actually, I think you're connecting something pretty valuable there. So like this group who does believe that God and Satan are one being, this group in the CIA, mind you, they were obsessed with the eschaton, which in plain terms is the end of the world, some sort of biblical cataclysm. And they were obsessed with forcing it and trying to make it happen. And again, you know, these entities, one thing is for sure, the entities are real. I've seen them. No one can take that away from me. I don't give a fuck if anybody believes them. Fact is, I've seen them. I've been touched by one. I'm just the messenger here. These entities have told my dad that cataclysm, all that biblical prophecy stuff does not have to happen, and we can shift into an age of peace if we just spread the message of love and the truth about these beings, which they are of light. They come from the spirit world is what they said. They're basically like messengers from the spirit realm. And the government's angle is to switch that and make them look like these scary alien monsters, but it couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, I'm not saying people have to go to church and believe in angels or whatever, but in my entire life's experience, you know, dealing with these entities, seeing them literally more than most people on the entire planet, I can confidently tell you that I have personally known people to be healed from cancers just from coming to our house and seeing orbs and being touched by them. And for anybody that has a hard time believing that, I'd be happy to send you the link where Lou Elizondo publicly talks about how my property is comparable to the paranormal activity of Skinwalker Ranch. Like it's fucking crazy how much stuff has happened on our property. It's 15 years of history, you know, but people have been healed of cancers, healed of, I saw my dog's neck get slashed and blood squirted out of it. Or my dad saw this, sorry, paraphrasing. Saw her neck get slashed, blood squirted out of it. Put his hand on her neck, the hole disappeared. She wagged her tail and she just walked away. Like these entities do weird stuff to get your attention. Happened to be the most famous UFO researcher in the world at the time was at our house, and he went and he started talking about our family to thousands and thousands of people around the world. And always shit like that. Like we'll have CIA officers over, they'll see some orbs, it'll scare the hell out of them. Next thing you know, they're at a conference talking about us. These beings have just been playing chess while the dumbass little propaganda wing of the government is playing checkers with half the pieces.
So you said, and sorry to like not elaborate, but I'm keeping an eye on the clock, and I got so much I want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
We got to do another show.
Guest Ryan rambles, doesn't he?
Man, this is good. No, this is great. I got two things I want to hit on. I want to talk about the Eschaton, and I want to talk about your experience making contact. The Eschaton. Have you read much into John Dee?
Oh my God!
we were actually considering doing an episode this weekend about
Jenny.
John Dee.
Jenny, Isaac just said, "Have you read into John Dee?" For the last 3 days, I've been obsessively like, "I want to do an episode on John Dee." John Dee.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there, right? It's
yes.
So I'm reading Jason Louv's book about John Dee, and you know, it's a big old 500-600 page book, and it's super dense. And
what's the title?
Oh man,
I need
I got
to
it in
that.
My bedroom.
I just put you on the spot, man.
I don't know. It's look up Jason Louv, L-O-U-V. Yeah. And
Jason
Louv,
by the way, is episode 5 of Midnight Gospel Boys.
Yes.
Oh, yes. No way. Yes. Your favorite episode. That's him. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. He talks about Buddhism and Indra's net and all that stuff.
I have to read that book. Yeah. I have to.
Oh, it's a good, it's definitely good. I mean, this guy knows so much about John Dee, but John Dee was part of an early movement of trying to, you know, immanentize the eschaton, try to bring about the end times, and it's kind of a relatively new concept that I'm sort of digging into in different elements.
It's real, bro. People really believe this.
There's an occult perspective, like Aleister Crowley and such, that wanted to bring about the end times, as well as an evangelical Christian angle that also wants to bring about the end times. Like both are true. Both are approaching it from different angles, and that's what they want ultimately, which sounds crazy.
Is the book John Dee and the Empire of Angels?
I think that's it.
Yes,
it's Enochian Magic and the Occult Roots of the Modern World. I gotta read that.
See why I didn't remember the whole title?
Yeah, man, how unprofessional of you! You can't remember 17 words for a title.
It rings a bell because I like I was telling you not to cut you off, but I heard your Doctor Strange Part 1 episode the other day. Fucking phenomenal, and awesome. I loved your finale conclusion. You just basically laid it out. Dr. Strange was based on John Dee, and you referenced the book super deep.
Yeah, awesome. There's so much, and I'm with you, man. I want to do a whole episode on John Dee, but there's so much to learn.
We could do it together, part two.
Hey, you know what? I still got a lot more questions.
Yeah, That's a good idea.
But let's hear about your – so we talked about how your father was actually cured of Crohn's, and that's one of the major components of why all these people are interested in his story.
And the female entity, yes.
And do you – he was a CE4. Does he remember ever like actually getting abducted, or he just has the loss of time?
Well, he remembers it post-hypnotic regression. It was only a year he didn't remember it. Now, since he has had the hypnotic regression, he remembers it all.
Oh, like, see, and I didn't listen to that episode yet. So did he remember going into a craft or anything like that?
Yes. Through the regression?
Really? Okay. So kind of like Travis Walton case a little bit, maybe?
Not quite. So here's what happened. So now we're going to change perspective. We're going to assume that this is what really happened, not from the perspective of my dad, whose mind was being blocked somehow or another, trauma, whatever you want to call it. These entities can make you not remember shit. So now regression has happened. This is the full story. So he walks up to that path the initial night in 2007. When he gets there, he sees the two lights on the horizon, and then he sees a third one shoot up. That all happened. And what happened next was my dad was scared and he dove into a bush next to him, and he's looking and he's in terror and he's freaking out. And one of those things, one of those big balls of fire in the sky comes close to him. It just appears next to him. And he remembers vividly how close it was. And he reaches out and he can see it was sort of shaped like a teardrop with spikes of light swirling all around it. It was pure light. And my dad remembers reaching up and he could see each one of the spikes had hexagon shapes at the end of them as they were rotating, and they emit this brilliant light. And he remembers reaching out and touching one of the hexagonal spikes. And next thing you know, he's in a dark room and there's a light on him. And these, I never can remember the number, it's three or four entities walk up to him, and my dad is like sobbing. He's freaking out. He's like, "Where's my son? Where's my son?" And he remembers them saying, "Don't worry, he's safe. We're protecting him." They didn't mention they were traumatizing the fuck out of him, but they thought they
were protecting him by locking him in place. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. But they said, "We're protecting him."
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, they did protect him, but anyway, so they said, "We're protecting him. He's safe." They took my dad up, and next thing you know, he remembers he's just seeing, he's surrounded by stars. The room he's in is like, it's you can't, like when you see these orbs, they look like light from the outside. They can grow, they can shrink. It wasn't like a spinning frisbee craft like you see in movies. I have never seen that in my life. It's always been these elaborate balls of light that can grow and shrink and change. Entities literally step out of them sometimes. When he's inside of it, he looks out and it's like the walls are made of glass. It's completely see-through. And he's looking around, he's seeing the stars, and he walks up and there's like a panel. Eventually, after he's over the initial shock of these things being around him, he walks up, he sees a panel, and they basically say like you can touch it and wherever you think you'll go. And he puts his hand on it and the symbols light up and wherever he thinks he goes. And they take him, they show him the pyramids, they show him Egypt. They show him some things of the future, like catastrophes, you know, world cataclysmic events that don't have to happen if the truth spreads in time, which it will. They basically said, no matter what, it's going to happen, because that's the true prophecy, is that the light will come through. There's seasons, like the cosmos has seasons, just like the earth has seasons. There's like a fall, a winter, a spring, a summer. Well, right now we're in winter, you know, but spring will inevitably be here. It cannot be stopped. It's unavoidable. Mm. And anyway,
some Game of Thrones shit right there, son. Damn, that was inspiring as fuck.
Well, it does feel wintry right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, from an occult perspective, we're in the Kali Yuga. Fun fact, if you look at their 12,000-year star cycle, the Kali Yuga actually ends in 2025. You know, so like crazy coincidence. The NASA simulator thing said that alignment should happen in 2026. By the way, you said this in your book. It blew my fucking mind, because I was told this in person at 15 years old. You said in Use Your Illusion that the government, the NASA, whoever, said that they fully plan to reveal all disclosure information by 2025. Well, I was told that face to face by a NASA scientist in my home when I was 15 years old back in 2009.
Wow. So they said 2025 back then?
Yes, in 2009. This was far before my dad had that encounter. So I'm just saying, like, you're on the shit, dude. That's why I love your show. That's why I'm here today. Like, I'm a simp for your fucking show, bro.
Oh, anyway. Man. We'll simp for each other, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. I like it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All jokes aside, I like to be silly, but all jokes aside for your audience so they don't boo me out of the fucking room.
I don't think so.
He puts his hand on the dash. It takes him wherever he wants to go. And they showed him a missile coming into space and they shot it down. And they said the US government or the world governments, whatever, they don't like us. They're scared of us. They can't control us. They're powerless to us. We are not here for them. We're here for humanity. You know, we're here to guide humanity to the next level where we're supposed to be. Because the truth is, consciousness is eternally evolving. You and me and everything that manifested on this world has a consciousness. Even the rocks, as dumb as they are, they have a consciousness too. The crystals, might I say. And we are, oh yeah, represent.
Crystal gang.
And we are all evolving higher towards that spiritual reality, kind of like what the Gnostic said. You know, I'm not literally a Gnostic, but like I think there's some truth to that.
Kind of like 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like if you know, really chew on that movie, that's literally what the movie is about. It's like higher beings guiding humanity through the evolution of consciousness. And
at
like
each astrological age, remember,
exactly, with
the monolith pointing towards the alignments. Yeah,
it is mind-blowing.
And like it's inevitable that we are fast approaching a new age, and it's undeniable that in history, if we just look back at history, every single astrological shift brought new technologies, brought new understanding of reality. Like before Jesus, which was the, you know, the heralding of the age of Pisces, before Jesus, other than in the Egyptian mystery schools and like these private, deep down and dirty spiritual, what people considered cults, like the Essenes, in the Pythagoreans and shit, mainstream religions didn't even believe much of an afterlife. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't super common. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes around, starts talking about there's a heaven and there's this and that, and your spirit goes higher. What's next? You know what I mean? Like what spiritual truth is next in the age of Aquarius? I don't know.
I feel like frequency shifts might be the key. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about. So, you mentioned something about you yourself making contact with aliens. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like to say making contact because like I didn't do anything. It just happened. Like I've had literally thousands of sightings and experiences since I was a 13-year-old boy, ranging from seeing orbs in the sky to seeing orbs out of my window to seeing orbs inside my house to seeing shadows run across the wall.
That's not an exaggeration. That's like it's literally like if you go to his dad's house, you're going to see a UFO.
You're
going to
see like 15 or 20 that night. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Like period. Like people come from all over the world to spend a weekend. Oh yeah. To spend a weekend at his place.
And it's like the Skinwalker
every time. Yeah. And every time there are sightings, I mean like, I don't think there's anybody he's ever brought out there to see stuff that hasn't seen stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Everybody pretty much, like if you came, Isaac, I have no doubt you'd see something. And I'm getting more and more confident with that. Like for example, a few months ago, Alex couldn't make it because he and I live in the same town. And at the time he was working always weekends. So like he couldn't break away at this time. So Nick and I link up with this wonderful person named Chronicles of Olivia is her TikTok name. She's just a wonderful human being. And she has a very large TikTok following, like over 1 million followers on there. And we got connected through a mutual friend of ours named Kit. Kit hooks us up. He's like, hey man, she's really like, just wants to help, you know, spread some positivity about your family. So she comes out and I'm gassing her up. Like, look, you're going to see something. And she did. And she took videos of it and started putting TikToks of the orbs out to her 1.2 or 3 million followers. And one of the videos got like 1 million views. And next thing you know, my dad's getting a call with caller ID that says US Gov. Like, dude, what the hell is your son doing? Like he's getting out in front of disclosure. And dad's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of like what he wants to do, you know, like,
wow.
And like, it's just crazy, man. Like my whole life has been crazy. I feel like we'll need a part two, man. Like
I can, man. I feel like we're barely, this is like the
barely scratched the surface. Man. This is the beginning.
You guys are blowing my mind. All right.
It's deeper and deeper.
All right. I've got a stack of questions. We're definitely got to get back together for a part two.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
I want to fly out here to NC and right here on this couch, we do something crazy.
I'm down to do something crazy on your couch.
Yes.
I'll bring my big crystal.
Yeah. Four guys, three cushions. What can we do?
I'll bring this one.
Yeah.
All right. Shoot, man. All right. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. Maybe we can, what referrals? I mean, obviously I'll drop links to your show, but any particular announcements you want to make to my audience or any particular episodes you want them to check out, anything you want to plug, go for it.
You guys want to go first? I'm just going to plug the show. So whatever y'all want to plug personally, go ahead.
Nah, I mean, just check out the show. Bledsoe Said So. We're on all the podcasting platforms. We're on YouTube. We're on Ryan's wall. You can see it right there.
And Ryan's cup.
Yeah. Hey, yo. We've got a fun little Patreon, a little $5 Patreon where you can, we have a cool little Discord community and we are
it's
always
hot,
sharing.
Dude.
It's really
hot.
Fun.
It's bumping. I mean,
all we do is talk conspiracies, metaphysics, esoterica, occult stuff, and
memes.
Oh, and
memes.
Video games. A lot of video games.
There are some meme lords in there.
Yeah. But
Patreon.com/ Bledsoe Said So. Is that
Bledsoe Said So? That's correct. All right. Yep. It's simple. Yeah. Everywhere you can find us is just Bledsoe Said So. It's simple. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's it.
Well, that was killer, guys. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me.
Thank you. This was
incredible. This is great. We're definitely so linking back up. Hopefully in North Carolina, man. That'd be dope.
Yeah. Yes, and I just want to say for your listeners real quick, I know this is like your following and they know this, but I want to say thank you guys for listening. I'm incredibly humbled and incredibly blessed. You guys are like, Isaac is just a fucking awesome dude. His show is amazing. You guys are very lucky to like have this content. And I'm very lucky that he would humble himself and come on our dinky little program. So I hope you guys enjoyed this two-part special.
No,
thanks for having us, Isaac.
There's definitely some kind of mutual synchronicity connection here, man. So I dig it. Yeah. Let's we'll stay in touch and we'll come get you guys back on for part two.
Absolutely. Woo-hoo!
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What do you think? Did we deliver the goods? Was that not one of the wildest stories you've ever heard? Very convincing, this young man is. I've seen enough. We've talked enough. I've sized him up. I'm like, dude, this guy's legit. This really happened, man. Especially if you listen to his show. okay? And that's one of the reasons why I'm so connected with these guys. There's on his show, it's Bledsoe Said So, and it's on everything, right? You can go to the website, it's Bledsoe Said So. You can go to their Instagram, it's the same. Patreon is Bledsoe Said So. I'm a Patreon supporter. You should go support everyone, right? Well, there's some great episodes you can start with. And one I'm going to give you, if you have any doubts in these guys, because look, I get it, right? You start talking about aliens visit, like a lot of us are like, bro, come on, really? It's very hard to believe, right? If you have doubts, listen to episode 42 where he interviews his brother, Chris Bledsoe Jr. He's the guy that went and who had the experience with his father. You're going to listen to that episode and you're going to be brought to tears. I'm telling you. Just listen to it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for that episode. Some two other great episodes are episode 35, The Mysterious Tyler D, where he talks about Fight Club, The Invisible College, this Tyler Durden guy. Episode 32, Over the Rainbow, is about Wizard of Oz and the symbolism there. But all those shows are great. You're going to love them all. I'm going to put links in the show notes for all of that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking in there. I want you to also remember Wednesday, June 15th, two things happening, two big things. I'm going to appear on Bledsoe Said So, so be sure to go subscribe to their podcast. You will not be disappointed. If you like my show, I mean, I've given you 400-plus episodes since 2014 unpacking occult symbolism in your favorite entertainment. If you like my show, you're going to love their show too. So go subscribe right now to their show. Wednesday, June 15th, yours truly will be on their show, and we're going to talk about spirituality and all of this conspiracy stuff and what we personally think about all of it. And on the same day at 2 p.m. Eastern on my YouTube channel, the YouTube channel called Isaac Weishaupt, link are in the show notes, of course, I'm going to live chat, live stream with the video, so I will answer all your questions. And keep your fingers crossed, because Ryan and the fellas are most likely, I already talked to them, they're most likely going to be able to show up, and they'll also be addressing comments, questions in the chat. I can't promise that because I don't want to do that to them in case that something comes up. I'm definitely going to be there. Link is going to be in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Till next time, stay woke.